This past Lent, as I led the Stations of the Cross several times, we were using the booklet, A Walk of Mercy, with the stations written by Father Kevin. And as I did that, one thing struck me. Lots of things struck me. It's a very powerful set of meditations and prayers, if you're not familiar with it. But one thing in particular struck me, and that was the 15th station. Now, typically, I'm not a big fan of doing a 15th station in the Stations of the Cross, which is the resurrection. The traditional numbering of the stations is 14, and it's the Stations of the Cross. The resurrection comes after that. It isn't really a Station of the Cross. That's more something for Easter. But the meditation for the 15th station in the Walk of Mercy booklet is rather fitting. And it basically is our gospel from today, the first part of our gospel. Jesus appears to the 11 apostles and says to them, "Peace be with you," and gives them the authority to forgive sins in his name. And it's powerful to have that as the end of an extended meditation on the sufferings of Christ, which is what the Stations of the Cross are and really what Lent is. And positioned that way, at the end of that, this gospel makes you realize that all that came before it, all the sufferings of Jesus on the road to Calvary and on the cross, was all for the sake of this gospel. Jesus endured all that pain so that he could say in our gospel, "Peace be with you." This peace is the result of the way of the cross. How do we know this? Well, this is the very first thing that he says to the group of apostles after he rises from the dead. He's appeared to a couple people individually. And for us, this has been a week since Easter Sunday, right? But in this gospel reading is from Easter Sunday evening, the first Easter. And this is the first time he's appeared to the group of his apostles. And many of the apostles were probably rather terrified at this apparition. They thought that Jesus might be a ghost. Jesus, of course, had been tortured and killed, and his disciples had abandoned him. One of his disciples had betrayed him, handed him over. And they think maybe this is the ghost of Jesus come to take revenge on them for letting him be tortured and killed. Or they were probably expecting at least a sharp rebuke from Jesus for abandoning him. But what Jesus says is, "Peace. Peace." This is his first word to them, the first word of a man come back from the dead. The first word, of course, is a position of great emphasis. This wasn't just a random greeting to his friends. This wasn't just a, "Hi, how you doing?" This was the result of his passion. This is the message which he brings back from beyond the grave. This was the goal that he had had in mind during his whole passion and death. This was the reason he endured all of that, so that he could come back and say peace and give his church the authority to forgive sins, the authority to bring sinners back into peace and harmony with God the Father. And of course, what's another word for this peace that Jesus brings back from the cross and the tomb? Mercy. Mercy. After all, if you've offended someone powerful and you have no way to repay them on your own, you can't make it right. The only way you'll have peace with them is if they have mercy on you. Mercy is a prerequisite to peace. This is what Jesus did. We can have peace with God only because God has mercy on us. The mercy that he won for us on the cross. Today is also known as Divine Mercy Sunday. The Feast of Divine Mercy itself is rather new. Pope John Paul II instituted it for the Universal Church in the year 2000, although it existed in Poland before that. But the idea of Divine Mercy is not a new idea. It's rooted in the resurrection itself and in the gospel accounts that speak of it, as we read today. Speak of it as mercy that brings peace. But the Feast of Divine Mercy does have a new emphasis and a new eloquence to it. The Divine Mercy devotion we're familiar with it. It's based upon the writings of St. Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun who lived in the first third of the 20th century. Sister Faustina had many visions of Jesus who spoke to her about his mercy, and we have most of those messages recorded in Sister Faustina's diary, which is available in print. And he asked her, Jesus asked Sister Faustina to spread devotion to his divine mercy. He asked her to have the divine mercy image painted. You're probably familiar with it. It's on the cover of the worship aid today and the bulletin. We have one out in the commons. There's also this newer icon version of it, which we have here. So he asked to have this divine mercy image painted. He also gave her the divine mercy chaplet and the novena, which I don't have time to go into today. And finally, he asked that today, the Sunday after Easter, be celebrated as a feast of divine mercy. And one of the things Jesus said to her was, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy." So on this day, the Lord wants us to seek his mercy. If you haven't already gone to confession leading up to Easter, it's a powerful time to go and receive the mercy of the Lord. It's a powerful time to ask in your own prayer for mercy and healing in various areas of your life and to pray for others. We'll be having a Divine Mercy celebration today at 3 p.m., the Hour of Mercy. We'll have confessions, we'll have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, we'll pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I encourage you all to join us for that. It's a powerful day, and the Lord has so much grace that he's waiting to give you. He also said to Sister Faustina, "On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it for all eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It's my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy." In the heart of Jesus, there is mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. There's mercy for the transformation and renewal of our lives. There's mercy for those we love, those we pray for. There's mercy so that we can live in peace and harmony with each other and with God the Father. Brothers and sisters, like St. Thomas the Apostle, let us reach our hand into Jesus' side, wounded for us. Let us boldly reach into that source of mercy. Let's boldly ask for and receive this mercy which Christ won for us at such great cost, and which he is so eager to give us.